If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Luke, the 15th chapter this morning. I believe with all my heart, God is getting ready and getting his people ready for his move. Amen. The book of Luke, the 15th chapter, is a chapter of God speaking about lostness. Amen. He starts off with a woman that lost a coin, went and found it. Then he finds a son that lost his mind and went and found it. Hello? Then we have a brother that was lost and was at home the whole time. Hello? See, that elder brother was just as messed up as the younger brother. He just stayed home with his mess up. Come on, church, smile. But notice what the Bible tells us in the 11th verse, 15th chapter. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country and sent him into his field to feed swine. And when fain that he filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? For I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said to his son, and the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son, my son, was dead, and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, and Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Father, we know your power, your grace, your glory is able to meet needs in this house, and we believe you for that. We're going to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Amen. Glory. In case you're wondering, when preachers get you to give yourself a hand clap of praise or something, we're trying to get you busy while we do something else. Hello? Glory. Notice something, church. The title of my message this morning is simply this: Transformational Thinking. Our theme this year has been transforming our mind, changing the way we think. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And that is just your reasonable service. God, sometimes I ask you something you can't do. Just live right. Hello? Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. One of the problems we have in the church world is we got folks live one way on Sunday, and the rest of the week they're some other way. And then when they start telling people about God, nobody wants to hear them because they realize you ain't no better off than I am. Hello? If somebody's in a ditch, you can't get them out of the ditch by getting in the ditch with them. Smile. Somebody said, well, preacher, what's this sermon doing? I'm continuing the message that I've been working on all year long, getting your mind where it needs to be with God. Amen. He turned around and said, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that or what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Church, we need to get to that place where we think about what God wants before we think about what we want. When we get to that place, then we understand my mind goes after God. I have an open door policy with God. If we don't, then we hear the words of God in Revelation when he said, I stand at that door and knock. What door is he talking about? Your brain. He's trying to get into your life and your brain's got him shut out. Whatever reason it is, he can't get in because your mind's on everything but him. But he whose mind is stayed on him is does what? Is in perfect peace. He whose mind is stayed on him lives in joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He whose mind is stayed on him walks in the presence of God that doesn't fall apart every time something goes wrong in their life. They're not living on urges, but they're living by the instinct of God that is in them that said, this is how it ought to be, and this is the way I'm going to live, and they're happy. Happy are the people who are in such a case. Yea, happy are the people whose God is Lord. First of all, your brain is the door to your life. Everything you put in your mind is what makes you what you are. We got people that are buying up bullets in case the zombies attack. Because they've been watching their movies. We got people afraid of the vampires going to bite them. Huh? And listen, church, I'm not just talking about kids. I was in Romania with a man that was an overseer of one of our states, and he was afraid the whole time we was there that a vampire's going to get him. He wanted to buy a garlic necklace to wear around his neck. I remember he was sitting next to me. I said, you are not buying no garlic necklace and sitting next to me in this van. We were in Transylvania, part of Romania. And it just happened to be a full moon. It couldn't have got better. Glory. I was going to walk across the road to get a Coke because there wasn't a Coke machine in the five-star motel. We stand in a five-star motel with a foam mattress. Yeah, that's five-star in Romania. I guess you don't have no mattress at all when you're in a four-star. Glory. I walked in, that thing was mound up, it looked so pretty. I went over and jumped on and said, whoo! It didn't go nowhere. I looked at Tom George, he was standing in the room with me, and he said, I'm gonna sleep no matter what it feels like. And he wasn't lying. He snored and flipped all night long, and I laid over on that piece of wood about to die. Glory. But I'll never forget, I was gonna go get a Coke, and this guy stopped me. He said, you can't go out there. I said, why? And it just happened to be the town where Vladimir Tepes' castle is. And those of you that don't know history, let me give you the name you know him by, Count Dracula. The town he was raised in was right outside this town, and the castle was on the mountain overlooking that town. And I said, why can't I go out there? He said, it's a full moon. I said, so? He said, you could get hurt. I said, look, if Drac needs some juice, that's not a problem, but I need some, and I'm going to buy some. I told someone later, I said, if I'd had a pack of ketchup, could have shot it on my neck, I could have died right there. That guy would have, he just had a heart attack. Glory. Now, y'all know our missions director, Dr. Tim Hill. I actually had him looking for a bat when we got to that van because the guy wouldn't get out of the van. So I was looking for a bat throwing the van with him. I bet if I threw it in there, he'd have come out. But we couldn't find one. We looked. Lord. But the reality is we've got people that's let their mind get so caught up with junk that it's got them all kind of depressed and all kind of anxiety because all they focus on is the problems, all they focus on is the trouble. And can I tell you that if we can ever get our mind straightened out and get it turned toward God, there is a peace that passes all understanding that God has for us. Could you say amen? Amen. Church, let me ask you a question. Who was most stressed out in the story of the prodigal son? Yeah, I thought about it might be the father because the son was gone. It might be the brother because he's going to have to do all the work. And then I realized the one stressed out the most was the fatted calf. Glory. He realized this is a total commitment for me. Glory. Hello. I had to say something funny before I got serious. This story is the third in the trilogy of the book of the 15th chapter of Luke. And we need to understand why I believe God had me declare that we're studying on transformation this year. I think the greatest need in all of Christendom is God's people to get back to God. Get our minds back on God. Amen. Amen. Listen, the mind is the steering wheel of our soul. So I said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" As your mind goes, so you follow. Everything starts in the heart. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're crazy." Let me ask you something, church. You're going down the road in the car. You turn the steering wheel left. Where's that car going? You better hope it's going left. You turn it left and you go right. You got a problem. And the problem we got is we got our mind running our body, and then we're giving our mind over to anything. You don't ride down the road with your hands behind your head going, "Yeah, well, I'll get there sooner or later." You know. You got both hands if you're smart. Now, some of you. And then when you wreck, you go, "I don't know what happened. You weren't paying attention to what you're doing." I was following somebody down the road the other day. They was on and off the road, almost run into a couple of cars, got beside them in there. I pulled up, rolled the window down. The guy looked up and said, "Get off the phone." He followed me down to Walmart. And he said, "What business is yours?" I said, "I'm one of them people you're going to kill acting stupid." Hello? See, I made some of y'all mad because y'all use your phone while you're driving. You're breaking the law, and that's wrong. Hello? Do you know there's more people killed in America now with people texting than there are people drunk? And you got to catch up to that lady in Oklahoma City. Heard all them people, killed a few of them yesterday drunk. I didn't hear nobody down there saying, "Let's close all the ABC stores." But every time somebody gets shot, they want to get rid of all the guns. Why don't we close the ABC stores and we won't have drunks anymore? Hello? By the way, that's a good segue. Call Kim Ward and some of the other representatives around here and tell them that when it comes up to let local grocery stores start selling hard liquor, vote against it again because it's coming back up in the next session. And you say, "Why is that?" Because it'll be 7 days a week they can buy it. It won't be controlled. Anybody can get it. And most of those stores, people underage can buy it. Hello? So it's important. Please call and tell them to keep it controlled, at least if they don't get rid of it altogether. I'm popular this morning, I can tell you. Glory. It's still the truth. If you don't make it easily available, folks don't find a way to get it. Amen. You say, "What's it got to do with your sermon?" Because I'm trying to tell you, if your mind's stuck on stuff, you ain't going to be able to get away from it. Hello? You say, "What are you getting at?" When a person's addicted, what happens to them? Their mind tells them they can't live without it. That is what causes the addiction. Do you realize that people quit smoking for 72 hours are no longer physically addicted to a cigarette? It's all right here. Do you realize people that go with alcohol for almost 3 days are no longer addicted to alcohol? It's all right here. Do you realize people that quit taking drugs, in a matter of 6 months, it clears the system and they don't have to have it anymore? But it's all right here. And can I tell you, this is what controls you. This is what tells you when to get up, when to go to bed, what you're doing, whether you're happy or you're hurting. And if we'll give it over to God, amen, we hear Proverbs where the smartest man said, "As a man thinketh, so is he." Glory. When we're trying to change an apple, they have hybrid apples. But you know, they realize if all I change the peel and the apple's still the same. You can put food coloring in a horse apple. Y'all know what horse apples are? I'm sorry, I'm country. That's some old wild green apples that'll take your teeth out your mouth. They're so bitter. And we used to eat them, thought, "Oh, man." I mean, we'd be eating them things like it was the greatest things, worse than green plums. We'd eat green plums knowing they were sour. Thanks to you. When you're in the country, you got to do stuff. Glory. Salt won't help them. I see somebody put salt on them. You can make a horse apple red. It's still going to take your mind out of you when you eat it. It's going to be rough. If you're going to change an apple and get a hybrid apple, as they have done, since all apples ain't the same, somebody been toying with them, you change the core. The core of that apple is what makes the inside and the outside do what they do. If you don't change the core, the apple is still whatever it was with just a different color. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? You can change the outward look of you all you want to. You can dress it up. You can do something different with it. But until you change the core of your being, you are not changing who you are, and you're not changing where you're headed. Amen. Some of us are so busy trying to know everybody else, we've never stopped long enough to understand who we are. Hello? When you take an apple seed, you can make that apple seed become a hybrid. You know, we've actually got corn. I've got a picture of it in my phone. A friend of mine's raised it in South Alabama. Hybrid corn, the problem was every year you had to go back and buy new seed because it wouldn't reproduce. Now they've got hybrid seed that reproduces. They've now taken the seed from last year, planted it again. They've got stalks 6, 7, 12 feet tall. They're getting 4 and 5 ears of corn off every stalk. It's multiplying the procedure, and they've been able to make it now where they've got a good hybrid. But you know what? They can work with that seed all they want to, but they will never change what the seed was intended to be. You say, what are you getting at? You take an apple seed, you're going to always get an apple of some kind. You're not ever going to grow tomatoes with apple seeds. You say, what are you getting at? Don't worry about what God's trying to do with you. You're going to always go to the purpose God's had for you all along if you just sell out to him. Come on, church. Amen. When I got saved, I didn't know what God wanted from me. Dumb old country boy. I didn't know one end of the Bible from the other. And God starts talking to me about being a preacher. And I didn't know how in the world it was ever going to work out. But the more I refined me into what God wanted me to be, the more I became what God wanted me to be. And I'm telling you now, the happiest I've ever been is when I finally quit fighting against what God wanted, turn myself over to him, let my mind go to God, and let God take control. And now I have joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. But you see, one of the biggest problems I used to have was I didn't know who I was. You know, people, I'm trying to find myself. Well, quit looking at everybody else to find yourself. Get a mirror, take a long look at you, and find out who you are. Because too many of us are trying to find ourselves in somebody else. I never forget, God called me to preach. I started looking at great preachers because, see, I've always been the type of person, if I'm going to do something, I study after people that are successful in what I do. I don't surround myself with losers. You're saved, don't worry. Glory. When I played ball, I tried to study under people that knew what they were talking about. I didn't go see the guy at the other school play ball and figure out if I played like him, I'd be all right. I wanted somebody that I knew were good and successful, and I studied them. When I became a preacher, I started studying successful preachers. I studied David Wilkerson, and I realized I didn't look good in white shoes and a double-breasted suit. Glory. I tried Billy Graham, and then I realized I really can't talk like Billy Graham. So there's no way I'm going to be Billy Graham. Hello? I studied Leonard Ravenhill, and I found out he's a great writer, but he can't preach or couldn't preach. I read every book the man ever wrote. I met him a couple of times in my life and loved spending time around him, but he could not preach. I read everything that the Church of Christ guy in Texas, Max Lucado, I've read every book the man ever wrote, all, most of them. I went to hear him preach, went to sleep. Sitting there, this guy bumped me and said, you're snoring. I said, oh. And I went to hear him and went to sleep. It was that bad. But I made up my mind one day, I'm not ever going to be David Wilkerson. I'm not ever going to be Billy Graham. I'm not even going to be T.L. Lowry or some of the other guys in the Church of God I looked up to. I mean, I could never even be Earl Hall. But what God wanted out of me wasn't to be Earl Hall or David Wilkerson. They were who they were. God wanted me to be Ken Stroop, to the best I could be. And the only way I could do that was come to terms with who I am, what I need to do, and let God begin to move in me. Could you say amen? Amen. Listen. We got people that are chasing money. You ever seen people, well, what's he going to do for me? What they're saying is, am I going to get rich off of this? We got people getting into ministry because they think they're going to get rich. Oh, hallelujah. I had one guy told me, said, yeah, you evangelists make all the money. I said, do you want to be one? I don't know where all that money was, but it don't work that way. Hello? But we got people. They're chasing money. When if you'll chase God and find out where you need to be in God, prosperity will take care of itself. Hello? When you act from the core, then you're comfortable. with yourself and not trying to be something you're not. We are bad about putting on a show. We wear a facade. Talk about being happy when we're not really happy. Talk about having joy when there's no real joy in our life. When the truth of the matter is, if we get all that out of the way, we can be happy with ourselves. Come on, church. What are you getting at? You ever notice KFC don't try to do anything else? You can knock Kentucky Fried Chicken all you want, but you ain't going to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a hamburger. They don't sell them. You know why? Their motto is, we do chicken right. That means if you want turkey, don't show up. We got chicken. We're not ashamed of the fact we cook chicken. Now, we got it several ways, but it's all chicken. So what are you getting at? We got to get to that place where we quit trying to keep up with everything around and just focus on what we can and make it the best it possibly can be. Could you say amen? Amen. We spend most of our lives trying to fix what's wrong with us instead of working on what's right. Hello? That's tweetable right there, buddy. Amen. I don't even tweet. In case y'all forgot, I don't do social media. I wish they'd shut it all off. We got more gossip going on now in social media than anything else. I know some of y'all happy you got social media. You can keep up with everybody's business. What about yours? Huh? Somebody said, well, y'all to do social media, you find out stuff. I'm finding out stuff. People tell me stuff y'all put on there. There's some stuff I don't want to find out you put on there. Hello? And I know I actually was going to try that tweet thing. I got on, signed up for it. I walked out in that hall the morning I signed up. I got a tweet from Hot Mama wanting to know if I was interested. I killed the tweeter account, called him and said, if I get another tweet, I'm suing somebody because I don't even know Hot Mama, don't want to know Hot Mama. Don't even know how Hot Mama got on a tweet with me. Glory. Hello? In case y'all wondering, I showed it to 2 or 3 people before I deleted it because I want to make sure if it showed up somewhere, people know I did not sin nor did I want it. Glory. Now, notice something. We're fixing to get to the prodigal son, point one. The prodigal son was led by urges, not by core values. Luke 15:13-14, and not many days after the young man gathered all together, took journey into the country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And he went and spent all that arose a mighty famine in the land and began to be in want. You ever notice people get in trouble because you're always buying what you want instead of getting what you need? Huh? You need a Toyota, you buying a Mercedes. Then you can't understand why you broke all the time. Come on, church, smile at me. You think because somebody else got it, you ought to have it. Do you realize the people of South Africa burnt down apartments because they had rotary phones instead of touch tone like the white folks did? Huh? And when I say white folks, at that time the British were ruling South America and the white people were more prosperous and the blacks, the Africans, the people that actually were from that country were living in apartments that built by the government and because they had rotary phones, they burnt the apartments down. Hello? We got folks in this world that think just because I got something, you ought to get it. Well, if you work like I do, you might. Hello? Come on, church, smile. I didn't get where I am waiting on somebody else to do something for me. I don't go out and buy everything I want. There's a lot of things I want. I'd like to have a nice grill. My son-in-law's dog eat it up. Hello? But I'm not going to go buy a grill right now because I got other things I need to do. So I stole his. But do you understand this young man was not driven by what he needed? He was driven by what he wanted, and his urges destroyed his life. Can I tell you, your urges can control you, and when they do, you are not thinking with the right mind. This young man was totally controlled by his urges. Listen to this. Urges will always deplete you. They will affect the most valuable things in your life. Urges, what are they? Strong need, a strong need with wish. an impulse to do something. Urges will always make withdrawals from you. Instincts will always make deposits in you. If you live by instinct, then you do what's natural and great. If you live by urges, you veer from the things you really need to be doing because you're too busy trying to keep up with them. Come on, church. Amen. Instinct, what is that? Strong natural impulse. A powerful impulse that feels natural rather than reasoned. If you're living for God, the instinct is to live right. The urge is to do something else. If you follow your urges, you end up in trouble. Hello? The problem most of us have, we pray with our mind, but urges take you somewhere else. Your prayers are not answered because you're letting urges drive the car. Hello? You keep pulled off the course you're headed on because you let things control where you're supposed to be going. Come on, church. And I got saved. God called me to preach. I began to be an evangelist. People kept telling me, oh, you're a pastor. I used to have people tell me, yeah, you know, you're evangelizing right now, but you're going to be a pastor. You preach like a pastor. I didn't know how a pastor is supposed to preach. I thought just preach the word. Because to be honest with you, I preach as an evangelist just like I do here. And they say, oh, yeah, you preach like a pastor. I said, well, God didn't call me to be a pastor. I spent 35 years as an evangelist before God changed me. But the reason God did what he did was during that 35 years, he was bringing me to where I was so that I could be a pastor and I could fulfill the call he had in my life. And the things I learned and it taught me of working as an evangelist made me who I am right now. And I wouldn't take anything for where I've been, but I thank God that I am where I am and I'm doing what I do because I know that I'm in where God wants me to be. Now, I don't operate on what I think. I operate on the instincts God has put in my life, and I function that way so I end up where God wants me to be. Good preaching. The urges drive the prodigal son to bankruptcy. He ends up in a hog pen. Now, probably when he left home, he had no intentions of being in a hog pen. He had dreams of grandeur. I'm going to go build my own farm. I'm going to have a great time, and then with the money left, I'm going to build a farm. Problem was, there wasn't no money left, so there wasn't no farm. So instead of having his own farm, he's now a sharecropper. That's what that meant when he said he attached himself to somebody in the family. He's working for a guy that owns a farm, and he's taking care of the hogs. Get this, they didn't eat hogs. Nobody in the Middle East eats hogs. They're filthy. What are you using for? The god Ra, who all of them over there worship beside the Jews, loves hog. Hello? Some of y'all look at me like, well, preacher, that's stupid. I thought so too. They won't eat it, but they'll kill them and give them a sacrifice to the god that said don't eat them. Hello? Preacher, you're crazy. Why do you think the people in Gadara got so upset when Jesus cast the demons out of the man? They went in the hogs, they jumped in the lake and killed itself. That was their whole year's religion, just went in the lake and killed itself because that was every sacrifice they were going to make. They raised the hogs just to give them as a sacrifice because they can't eat them. Hello? Some of y'all look at me like you're crazy. Go to the Middle East. You can't find pork anywhere. I came back to America, first thing I wanted was barbecue. Glory. No ham, no nothing. You don't get pork in the Middle East of any kind. Lamb, a little beef, fish. Lots of fish, chicken, turkey. They eat chicken and turkey, buddy. I guarantee you that. Amen. I eat so much lamb, I started wondering if I was going to turn into a ram when I got back. And I liked it, but it wasn't something I'd want to eat every day. Glory. But now notice something. He's working in a hog pen. And guess what he's got to eat? Because notice this. Once you fall out, those friends you thought were your friends, they ain't got nothing for you because you done lost it. Huh? We had a preacher one time throw his life away over a woman in the church. Now that happens. We had a preacher that actually preached to our young people and said nobody backslides, they just take a time out. He recently took a time out from his family for one of the girls in the youth group. Now he's took a time out from church and everything else because he's with that girl. Hello? Backslid as a goose. He can call it anything he wants to. Smile. But this preacher threw his life away for a woman. He goes to see her after everything falls apart, knocks on the door, and she said, I can't go out with you anymore. I can't date a guy working at Walmart. He said, I wasn't at Walmart when I met you. But notice, as soon as his life was gone, she was through with him. Hello? You got people in this world will take you a lot of places to do things with you, long as you are in got money and you can do it. But as soon as you hit rock bottom, they gone, because you a loser now. They go find somebody else. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all act like, preacher, you know what you're talking about. I do. If your urges lead you, you mess up. He gets over there now, he's bankrupt in a hog pen. Listen, the people you spend time with, do they bring value to you or do they deplete you? Do the people you hang around with, are they always sucking joy out of you and life out of you? Or are they giving you joy and peace because they're doing the same things and think about the same things you do? Come on, church, smile. Some of you say, well, preach, I don't like this sermon. I didn't figure you would. But some of you need to hear what I'm telling you. You hang around with dogs, don't expect to be nothing but a dog. Come on, church. When I got saved, I had to lose every friend I had because I knew where they were going and what they were doing, and I couldn't be friends with them. I had a guy that I was just like this in high school with. Since I got saved, I talked to him one time. When I told him I wouldn't go to the brass monkey with him. Hello? That's a bar in Livingston, Alabama, and he wanted to go over there, and I said, I can't go. I'm saved. Well, what's wrong with that? I'm a Christian. I said, not like I am. He has not talked to me since. I see his brother every once in a while, and his brother would tell me something about him. Finally, one day, his brother told me, he said, I said, how's he doing? He said, he's lost everything. His life's gone, his wife's out, he's lost every job he's ever had. Last time I saw him, he was in an old junk car trying to do work with a construction company. Guy's got a master's degree in business and was knocking down big coin, and he blew it all away because he never could get his mind off his urges. The people you hang with, do they deplete you or do they add to you? How you handle your money and time tells me what drives you. Hello? Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? How you deal with your time, what takes up your time, how you spend your money tells me what drives you. If you're constantly blowing your money on stuff you don't need, that tells me you're trying to be somebody you're not, and you're not happy with who you are. Glory. Successful people invest their time and money instinctively instead of by their urges. Hello? Warren Buffett has never owned anything in his life. He's one of the richest men in America because he's always invested in something that counted. Recently, he bought a railroad. Why? Because he believes the economy's going to crash. Now he's got something to hold on to. If the economy crashes, he has assets. That's what he bought it for. Hello? I'm not trying to scare you. You just ought to think about it. I watch people like that because what they do tells me what they think is going to happen. Hello? Glory. Listen, the prodigal has a mind change. Notice something. When he made the decision to go home, things didn't change. He was still in the mud, eating corn shucks. Hello? He's still sitting there with the flies flying all around him. He's still got the same smell in his nose. Any of you ever been around a hog pen? It is not nice. Ain't changed the way things smelled. Ain't changed the flies. Ain't done nothing else. What happened was he changed his mindset. Notice what the Bible said. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll rise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me a servant in your house. All of a sudden, nothing changed but his mind. In the mud, he started thinking different. In the pen, he started thinking different. Some of you need to change the way you're thinking and get your mindset on God. And when you do, God will lead you back where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. But until you get your mind changed and come to yourself, you're never going to shut up. Notice something. The return home. He arose and came to his father's house. But when he was still afar off, his father saw him coming. He recognized a silhouette on the horizon and said, my boy's coming home. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? God is a God that forgives and forgives and forgives. He ain't like us. Amen. He even told us to do it 70 times 7. If he requires that of us, think how much more he forgives. Hallelujah. Amen. And notice what he said. He said, my son that was lost is found. My son that was dead is now alive. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My boy's home. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? My Bible said there is rejoicing in the midst of the angels and the throne of God when a sinner comes home. Hallelujah. Well, you talk about God himself is having a party because you're coming back. You're making it there. You're getting there. You're selling out to him. And he's so excited you've decided, I'm rogue. I'm coming back. I'm selling out to you, that he just throws down and has a party. I want to tell you something, friend. There is nothing excites God as much as somebody saying, wait a minute, I messed up. I'm bringing my mind back to you. I'm opening up the door. God, I want you in my life to change. Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it is not by might, but by power. And by the Spirit, God, have your way right now. Move on your people right now. Father God, there are people under the sound of my voice today who need a transformation in their mind. They need to turn their mind back to you. In Jesus' name.